ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नदायनम नमस्कृत्य नारं चैव नरोत्तमा देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासा ततो जायमुदीयजे मुखाकरोति वाचालं पङ्गुर्लङ्गायते गिरिं यत्किपाथमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दिनचारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्य ईश्वरं विचक्षणोऽस्यार्हति वेदितुं विभोर् विचक्षणोऽस्यार्हति वेदितुं विभोर् अनन्तपारस्य निवृत्तितासुखाम् अनन्तपारस्य निवृत्तितासुखाम् प्रवर्तमानस्य गुणारणात्मनः प्रवर्तमानस्य गुणारणात्मनः ततो भवान् दर्शय चेष्टितं विभो ततो भवान् दर्शय चेष्टितं विभो. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Vaicharanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Of the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, fifth chapter, 16th verse. The Supreme Lord is unlimited. Only a very expert personality, retired from the activities of material happiness, deserves to understand this knowledge of spiritual values. Therefore, those who are not so well situated due to material attachment should be shown the ways of transcendental realization by your goodness through descriptions of the transcendental activities of the Supreme Lord. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Theological science is a difficult subject, especially when it deals with the transcendental nature of God. It is not a subject matter to be understood by persons who are too much attached to material activities. Only the very expert who have almost retired from materialistic activities by culture of spiritual knowledge can be admitted to the study of this great science. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly stated that out of many hundreds and thousands of men, only one person deserves to enter into transcendental realization. And out of many thousands of such transcendentally realized persons, only a few can understand the theological science, specifically dealing with God as a person. Sri Vyasadeva was therefore advised by Narada to describe the science of God directly by relating his transcendental activities. Vyasadeva is himself a personality expert in this science. And he is unattached to material enjoyment. Therefore, he is the right person to describe it. And Sukadev Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva, is the right person to receive it. Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost theological science, and therefore it can react on the layman as medicinal doses. Because it contains the transcendental activities of the Lord, there is no difference between the Lord and the literature. The literature is the factual literary incarnation of the Lord. So laymen can hear the narration of the activities of the Lord. Thereby they are able to associate with the Lord and thus gradually become purified from material diseases. The expert devotees also can discover novel ways and means to convert the non-devotees in terms of particular time and circumstance. Devotional service is dynamic activity, and the expert devotees can find out competent means to inject it into the dull brains of the materialistic population. Such transcendental activities of the devotees for the service of the Lord can bring a new order of life to the foolish society of materialistic men. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his subsequent followers exhibited expert dexterity in this connection. By following the same method, one can bring the materialistic men of this age of quarrel into order for peaceful life and transcendental realization. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport to the first canto, 5th chapter, 16th verse. So normally, only the very expert personalities who are really retired from material activities of sense gratification deserve to understand this knowledge. For them it is easy. It's possible to understand directly the philosophy. For others, it's very difficult to understand the philosophy about the personality of Godhead. So many people find it difficult to understand how God can be a transcendental person. And that's why impersonalism is very common all over the world. Islam has become primarily impersonal. Although throughout the Quran it talks about Allah as a person, but they ignore that. The Bible says God is a Father, but somehow modern Christians also become quite impersonal. And after Shankaracharya's demolishing of the Buddhists, who are anyway voidists, most of India became impersonal. And whoever didn't get converted by Shankaracharya from Buddhism, anyway, they're still a voidist. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to, and different acharyas came before him, to bring the people back to the personalistic viewpoint of Godhead. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is the special medicine to cure people from this impersonal concept of life. So Narad here is asking or telling or instructing Vyasadeva that telling people about the personal aspect of Godhead philosophically maybe should be too difficult for anyone except very so people. Because in the Vedanta Sutra it clearly establishes the personal concept of life. But somehow even they just have their commentation of the Vedanta Sutra and they miss the point. So therefore the personal aspect was to be described in the Srimad Bhagavatam by telling the pastimes. As we are traveling around Vrajabhumi, Vrajamandala, we're hearing so many pastimes of the Lord. So this hearing of the Lord's pastimes helps us to associate with the Lord, because his pastimes description and himself are not different. So that way we're associating with the Lord. We're getting a practical concept on what the personality of Godhead is like. And And this way we're also getting purified. You see, but we should understand that generally this subject matter is something very difficult to understand. It's been made easier for us to understand by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers having simplified things for us. Srila Prabhupada was expert in this application of time, place, and circumstance and different novel ways to attract the people. Just like Srila Prabhupada started the Rath Yatra in the West, and the Rath Yatra festivals in the West attract so many people. And many different types of festivals and methods of preaching were initiated by Srila Prabhupada. His concept for building a temple of Vedic planetarium, which should be the largest religious monument, which is filled with exhibitions for attracting people to Krishna consciousness, which already Bangalore and Delhi have adopted that means. I was on the way to here. I stopped in a Delhi temple, and it was on Sunday, packed with people queuing up to see the animatronic show of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaking to Arjuna. And they're going to have a couple dozen, dozens, it's like 12, many, like 20, maybe 20, 30 exhibits, maybe more, I can't remember. It took me 2.5 hours to be taken around to the places where they're planning to do the exhibits. And they're going to have a lot of different things in a small area. So these are novel ways of trying to awaken people to Krishna consciousness. So here we are in Vrajadham, and we're being told so many transcendental pastimes of the Lord. We should appreciate that, how this is giving us an opportunity to associate with the Lord and purifying us. We need to have an open mind and open heart. If somebody has a doubt or somebody doesn't understand something, best to clear it up as soon as possible so that you end up with a very clear idea of what's happening. Here we're in the land of Radharani. We're under her shelter. All of you had a nice, peaceful night, I hope. How do you like being under Radharani's shelter? Radhe, Radhe! Radhe, Radhe! Radhe, Radhe! This Baba here, Priya Das, Baba Ki. He's always happy if you say Radhe, Radhe. Seems to be his main sadhana. There's a Shaligram Shila here in Arada. 6:30 they had aarti and bathing and puja. So we're in the land of the appearance of Radharani. Priyadas Baba was saying yesterday how this is the Leela Bhumi and Vrindavan's the Kriya Bhumi. That's the place of Krishna's activities, and here's the place of his pastime. So Prabhupada said something like that more directly from the Srimad from the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, "Janma karma chame divyam evang yovedita tuta taktam dehang punar janma naiti mameti sarjuna." So if anybody understands the transcendental nature of the pastimes of the Lord, His appearance and His activities, but at the time of leaving this material body, they don't have to take birth again, but they go back to Krishna. So, hearing about the Lord and His activities has this purifying feature. So Prabhupada was explaining there's two things mentioned here. Janma, karma. Janma means appearance. So just like the Lord has an appearance, His Supreme Energy has an appearance. And Radharani's Janma Lila was here in Barsana. She's, we're going, actually the program is that we go on a full Barsana Parikrama tomorrow morning. And this evening we go to Nandagram. And this morning after breakfast we go to Vrindakund. But before we go for a quick darshan and get the blessing of Radharani, since we're under her shelter. Marichi wants to delay our departure. We'll talk about that after the class. Anyway. So we're here to hear about the glories of the Lord and His energies. Sometime when we would ask Prabhupada about Radharani, he would be very reserved. One time somebody asked him about Radharani, he said, "Who are you to ask about Radharani? What qualification do you have?" Because Radharani is so special. We should never misunderstand Radharani to be an ordinary woman or any material personality. She is Krishna directly, is one, and He made Himself into two, Radha and Krishna. So the two are inseparable, as we see from this deity here. In order to expand His pastimes, He expanded the energy into the pleasure potency. And Radharani is simply meant to give Krishna pleasure. But all happiness is expanding from Radharani. Material happiness is insignificant. So we're not even going to discuss about that. Actually, we were discussing once, one day during the Parikrama, the safari with Dinabandhu and some other devotees, how in the material world, there's a Bhagavatam sloka in the fifth canto that mentions how even the eaters of stool, like the dogs and the hogs, they are enjoying sense gratification. It's not a big deal. It's pretty ordinary stuff. But as human beings, we can experience the highest transcendental ecstasy. Brahma Sokyam Tvanantam. So Srila Prabhupada explained that actually this spiritual happiness that Bharat Maharaj went renounced his entire kingdom for, that great rishis and sages and great devotees are going after. Even Buddha Deva went to find that spiritual happiness. That spiritual happiness personified is Radharani. Jai Sri Radhe. Radhe, Radhe. Adi. Rabbi. To be ready. Actually, Mayapur, we're in Lord Gaur Nitai Gaur, they don't take offense very easy. And one can get forgiven for offenses very easily. But here in Vrindavan, Prabhupada explained, you get 1,000 times more benefit for any service you perform. But for any offense you perform, it's 1,000 times heavier. So the devotees had to be very careful here. Especially when we're dealing with the most dear personality to Lord Krishna, Srimati Radharani. She's very merciful. So of course Krishna would not tolerate any offense to Radharani. And she doesn't tolerate offenses to Krishna. So you have to be very careful. Generally it says that people visit the Vrindavan or any holy dham, they should visit for 3 days. Because if they stay longer, maybe they start getting offensive. And even though you may see some of the Dhamvasis maybe very much casual, maybe they don't chant japa like we do, don't do different things. Because they're living in the Dham and serving the deities and serving the presiding deities of the Dham, they have got some special relationship. So therefore, you have to just avoid also getting in a critical mentality for Dhamvasis. It's between them and Krishna. Krishna is there to, or their gurus, to correct them. As visitors, we have to just be kind of, we have to be humble and just get the nectar out without committing any offenses. So, just something, just a word of caution. Of course, because we're here in the Braja and we're here in Barsana, we're going to hear a lot of pastimes about Radharani. We're going to hear glories about Krishna and Radharani, which are very confidential. And that nectar we can keep in our heart. We can appreciate some of the wonderful qualities of the Lord and His devotees. Sukadeva Goswami didn't directly mention the name of Radharani in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He indirectly mentioned this Aradita. There was one gopi who was especially able to worship Krishna better. We get the explanation that if he were to mention Radharani, he'd become so ecstatic he couldn't have completed the narration. So he had to just give some hints but not directly get into it. In other Puranas, it very elaborately describes some of the qualities of Radharani. More than that, the works of the six Goswamis, they've gathered different parts of the Puranas and histories, and they have more details about Radha and Krishna revealed. When we get as we get more and more purified and we can hear the pastimes without getting agitated, then we can go on listening. If we hear the pastimes and get agitated, then materially we're not ready yet. to listen. And we had to do some more purification. Krishna consciousness is a process where we get purified. And the process doesn't change for the beginners or for the advanced devotees very much. When one gets really advanced and they directly start to engage in the internal service to the Lord, just like when we were at Srinivas Acharya's place, we heard how he could go in meditation and help Radharani find some missing ornament and give that to her. So this is not ordinary. This is something, you know, very advanced level. Cannot imitate such things. So when one is in their liberated state and they directly can serve the Lord in their spiritual form, in their meditation, and when one is still in their conditional life, then we serve the Lord through our thoughts, words and deeds, and we engage in different types of devotional service. And within that devotional service, we go up through the eight levels of bhakti that we described before: Shraddha, faith, association with devotees. And so depending on, some devotee may just be getting rid of the anarthas, and someone else may already getting a taste, and someone else may become very attached to Krishna, someone else may be experiencing ecstasy. And for sometimes, because of the mercy of the Lord or the holy abode or the kirtan, everybody may feel some ecstasy. But then after the kirtan is over, after the narration is over, then the mind goes back down to some lower level. But if we'd like the mind to always remain in that ecstatic level, then we have to get purified. So we need to have the determination to go on with the process no matter what. And this is also explained here in the next verse. Tyaktva swadharmam charanam bhujam harir bhajan bhagavo tapadetato yadi yadrakvava bhadram abhuttam ushyakim kovarta apto bhajatam swadharmataha. One who has forsaken his material occupations to engage in the devotional service of the Lord may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage, yet there is no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, though fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything. The Bhagavad is focusing us on the real goal of life, which is to get back to Krishna. Somebody can do their material activities perfectly, but spiritually, they're going nowhere. Just by doing good karmas or by doing good material activities, you can get higher birth, you can go to Swarga, or you can go to Brahmaloka or something, but you never get Krishna consciousness simply by material activities. You need to get association with a pure devotee of the Lord. You need to hear from the pure devotees of the Lord about Krishna. We need to engage ourselves in devotional service. And in this way, one can actually get awakened to Krishna consciousness. So the material activities, they don't gain anything in terms of real spiritual progress. Where somebody, if they're engaging in devotional service, even if sometimes they get carried away by Maya, Prabhupada explains here how, or the Bhagavatam directly is saying, there's no danger of being unsuccessful. Prabhupada explains here if how there's so many duties to society, country, and everything, demigods, philosophers. Prabhupada says, it is enjoined in the scriptures that one can relinquish all such duties and surrender unto the service of the Lord. So if one does so and becomes successful in the discharge of his devotional service unto the Lord, it is well and good. But it so happens that sometime one surrenders himself unto the service of the Lord by some temporary sentiment, and in the long run, due to so many other reasons, he falls down from the path of service by undesirable association. There are so many instances of this in the histories. Bharat Maharaj was obliged to take his birth as a stake due to his intimate attachment to a stake. He thought of the stake when he died. Chitraketu fell down to his offenses at the feet of Shiva. In spite of all this, the stress is given here to surrendering unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Even if there is a chance of falling down, because even though one falls down from the prescribed duties of devotional service, he will never forget the lotus feet of the Lord. Once engaged in devotional service of the Lord, one will continue the service in all circumstances. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that even a small quantity of devotional service can save one from the most dangerous position. There are many examples of this in history. Ajamil was one. In his young life, he was a devotee. In his youth, he fell down, but he was still saved by the Lord at the end. Tasyaiva heto prayate tako vido nalambyate gyata brahmatang uparyata talapyate dukkha vadanyata sukham kalena sarvatra gobhiramam asa. Persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should endeavor only for that purposeful end which is not obtainable even by wandering from the topmost planet Brahmaloka to the lowest planet Patala. As far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it can be obtained automatically in course of time, just as in course of time we obtain miseries even though we do not desire them. In other words, automatically in this material world we're going to experience material happiness, and automatically we're going to experience material suffering, whether you like it or not. Even if someone says, I don't want any happiness, you're going to experience it. And even if you don't want any suffering, you're going to experience it. So you don't really have to try, because we're already wrapped into the mode of the karmic law. Well, what should we try for then? Miriam, what do you think we should try for? Mangala Pada, what should we try for? To transcend the material felicidad. Padam Padam, what should we try for? Yeah, what should be the end? What is the purposeful end? Huh? Love for Krishna. How many like to achieve love for Krishna? Hare Krishna.
Rahi Rahi. Rahi Rahi. Rahi Rahi. Rahi Rahi. Rahi Rahi.
Vishwabhanu Nandani Rahi Rahi. Vishwabhanu Nandani Rahi Rahi. Over here in Barsana, where personified love of Godhead appeared, Radharani is the personality of love of Godhead, and she's here. So we should try to endeavor to achieve her mercy. Even if somebody falls down, get spaced out, they should keep on trying to serve the Lord. Let's mention the next verse. Navai jana jatukatan chana vajen mukunda sevyanya varanga sanstitim smarana mukundangi paguha smarana mukundangi upaguya guhanam punar Riha to me chena Narasa Gaho Jana. My dear Vyas, even though a devotee of Lord Krishna sometimes falls down somehow or other, he certainly does not undergo material existence like others, furtive workers, etc. Because the person who has once relished the taste of the lotus feet of the Lord can do nothing but remember that ecstasy again and again. So we hope that during the Ganga and the Vrindavan safaris, some devotees will taste some spiritual bliss, which they will be able to remember again and again. Sometimes Maya is very tricky, and she tricks someone into going after sense gratification. And then when you're in a sense gratification, when the person's in sense gratification, then they remember, this is not the highest pleasure. I was more happy when I was chanting Radhe Radhe in Barsana. And then you give up that attempt for sense gratification and get back to devotional service. Of course, more fortunate is that someone doesn't get tricked by Maya. And that's why we need to be very careful to be in good association, to always chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, as Param Padam Das has told us so kindly. This way we can progressively always remain happy in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said here, a pure devotee continuously remembers the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, Raha Krishna, and does not forget him for even a moment, not even in exchange for all the opulence of the three worlds. Appeared only to serve Krishna. So when she appeared, she kept her eyes closed. She said the first person she wants to see was Krishna. So the parents thought she was blind. They thought, we have such a beautiful daughter, but she's born blind because she won't open her eyes. Krishna came to her, there was some ceremony being performed for the birth and purification of Krishna, Radharani, that they put Krishna as a little baby and Radharani together, and Krishna crawled over to Radharani and looked at her face, and when Radharani could smell Krishna, then she opened her eyes and saw Krishna.
Radhe Radhe, Radhe Radhe, Radhe Radhe, Radhe Radhe.
Normally, Prabhupada, he didn't like us to chant Radhe Radhe. He said only in the Radhastami. But here we're being in Barsana, it's like every day is Radhastami. Because we're in the appearance place. Because we say Radha, we should also say Krishna. Because they're connected eternally. So I hope that all the devotees will be very determined to, no matter what, continue their devotional service. Right. In Christianity they have the angels. They accept that there is a Lord and he has angels. But they always criticize when we say the Lord has got demigods, or he has consorts, or has energies. But in their nomenclature, they're angels. Just another term. But because, and I saw a book once when in our temple in Murai Sevak, Encyclopedia of Angels. Encyclopedia. Or Dictionary of Angels. It described the 18,000 types of angels.
And
so anyway, in the Vedic tradition, they said there's Tetris Koti Devata, there's 330 million demigods in the material world. They're all angels, but they're material angels. And there's the spiritual energies. And Radharani is the top. And she expands into so many others. So I'm just mentioning that maybe for some new devotee it seems when they go back and somebody says, well, how can you believe all these things? It's just it's really semantics, because these things are mentioned in other religious scriptures, but just in really brief and in different terms. But that the Lord is the person, he's surrounded with his devotees. And Radharani wants to expand the number of devotees to expand the pleasure of Krishna. So when Radharani came as Lord Chaitanya's friend, as Gadadhar Prabhu, then as Gadadhar Prabhu she was also preaching and expanding the message of Lord Krishna. So we're being followers of Lord Chaitanya. We can serve Radha and Krishna by engaging and bringing the materialistic people to the feet of Lord Krishna. And as I Prabhupada said, that expert devotees always can discover novel ways and means to convert non-devotees in terms of particular time and circumstances. Devotional service is dynamic activity. And expert devotees can find out competent means to inject it into the dull brains of the materialistic population. So it gives us all an opportunity to use our intelligence, how to give Krishna consciousness to the dull people of this Kali Yuga. So we hope that by this visit to Mayapur, Navadvip, and Gaurmandalbhumi, and now Vrindavan, you'll get a lot of spiritual force and inspiration to be inspired to inject Krishna consciousness into the brains of the dull materialists. In the mood of Lord Chaitanya, even the inner desire of Radharani is, why should all these people just be suffering? You know, it could be a few people just doing their bhajan here, getting all the nectar, and everybody else is suffering. But in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, we don't want everybody else to suffer. We want to give them all a chance to also get the nectar. How many like to see everybody absorbed in nectar of Krishna consciousness? So that gives us a lot of service to be done now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Any questions?
The other day we were in Radha Damodar Temple when Srila Prabhupada had written these books, and I was thinking of a question. Is in the first canto, so much of it seems to be from direct experience of the Western countries, but if we actually think that Prabhupada hadn't even left India when he wrote these first canto, so the question is, how did he have such an incredible understanding of the Western mentality even at that time?
Sri Prabhupada ki. He had a transcendental vision. Awesome. He was appeared in 1896, and with British were here, he could see their mentality. Could read the newspapers. Prabhupada used to say, if you can get one piece of rice from the pot of rice and feel it, you get the idea of the whole piece. So he had some idea what was the problems people were facing. But when he actually arrived in America, even he was shocked how bad it really was, you know. The British that were in India, I got some idea, but you know, didn't get the full length and breadth of it. So when he arrived in Boston, and for 2 hours he just walked around, and he came back and wrote a new poem, a new prayer. What place have you brought me to? This place is so heavy. People are not only into sense gratification, they have no shame, and I mean, they're proud about it. It's like proud of their ignorance. See, we who preach in India, the people are trying to forget their culture. They want to imitate the West. So many of them want to forget. Now there's a revival, you know, because Krishna's mercy, Bhagavat preaching, there's a little bit of a revival. But some people are still resisting. They say, no, we went to West, we went to... Now this invasion of the television. And... But here we're dealing with people wanting to forget. They don't know much about their culture. What they know, they want to forget about and just follow the West. And so we're trying to make them proud about their heritage and inspire them to go deeper into it. And that's why Westerners coming to India is very important, because when they want to be like the West, and then they see like the Westerners themselves saying, there's no happiness in the Western civilization. Real happiness is chanting Hare Krishna, then it has an impact on them. Of course, then I get some Indians used to come up to me and say, you have experienced all the happiness, and you have got then the desire to renounce. Let me experience all the happiness, then I will also renounce. And Prabhupada said, an intelligent person that sees everybody going in the outside and getting wet in the rain, he realized, that he shouldn't go out, it's raining. It doesn't make any sense. Let me also suffer, then I'll want to... So there's a lot of fun in trying to help people be Krishna conscious. At the same time, if somebody becomes awakened to Krishna consciousness, it's very moving. Because people are suffering so much. And every one of you can make a big difference. Somebody may build the biggest skyscraper, or somebody may build the biggest bridge, or somebody may do so many wonderful things, make a $1 million paintings. But if it doesn't awaken anybody to their God consciousness, then ultimately it doesn't have any permanent result. But if you're able to get one person to chant Hare Krishna, one person to be Krishna conscious, because of that they'll be out of the cycle of birth and death. You've made a permanent change. Otherwise material world is continually changing. Nothing is permanent. What's permanent is when you get somebody out of this material world and they're permanently out and they're back to Godhead. And every one of you, just like Prabhupada gave us the visa to go in this Dham, he's also given us the potency to give people Krishna consciousness. Even when you're a bhakta or a bhaktin, simply by surrendering to Prabhupada and his representatives, you can also get the potency. We see so many uninitiated devotees sometimes doing wonderful preaching. Or facilitating the preaching. And just like Bhakti Laila here, she gives her flat in Moscow for a Namhat meeting. So many people are going to her flat and chanting and getting the mercy. She's very humble. She said, I'm not doing anything, I just give my flat. Even by giving a flat, you're facilitating people to chant Hare Krishna. So in so many ways one can help the Sankirtan movement. And by helping others you can make a big difference. Absolute difference. Any other question?
Prashad, you come here. Prashad?
Huh? Dinabandha said they asked to have them bring the prasad early. It's later today than most days.
What particular lila was going on in this place?
Well, obviously I could have said some things about that. But because they're going to go on Barsana Parikrama tomorrow morning, and Dinabandha's going to tell all the details, and we'll say, and I'll speak at that time also. Basically, right around they appeared here and grew up here. And so there's many childhood pastimes. And that appearance pastime is also amazing. I can tell you one pastime. I can. I thought I'd like to tell it so Dinabandha could hear it, because he doesn't seem to have heard it. So I don't know whether to tell it now or tomorrow.
No problem. Today and tomorrow.
Who wants to hear it now? Who wants to hear it tomorrow? When Krishna appeared, Radharani appeared 15 days after Krishna. So, Pitmatsik. So, Narada Muni came and after some time, and he visited Nanda and Yasoda's house, and he saw the beautiful Krishna baby. You see that picture of Krishna that was at the birthplace in the dungeon? Wasn't that beautiful? And he was very ecstatic, and he told Nanda and Yasoda that as far as your religious dharma is, just take care of your child. That's your param dharma. Okay, normally parents are told take care of your child, but don't neglect your other duties. But in their case, that your supreme duty is just take care of your child. Because he said, wherever this boy lives, in that house, Narayana resides. In that house, the Supreme Lord resides. Kept a little bit cryptic. Then he wanted to find, he said, wherever there's Krishna, then soon after him comes his energy. So his energy must be here somewhere. So then he went looking around Vraja to find the energy of Krishna. So he go house to house and ask the people, you know, do you have any newborn babies? You know, they bring their, I want to bless your babies, you know. They bring the babies, they bless. And it's not the one, it's not the one. So he was getting kind of anxious. He was going to so many houses, he could never see. But from a distance he saw this golden baby in the house of Vrishabhanu Maharaj. And then he went to that house and asked him, they're very, you know, received Narada Muni, and we're very blessed. Do you have any children? I can bless them. They brought their son. who is maybe like 1 year old or something. Brihat Banu? Who is the older brother, Radharani? Forget. One of them. So Sridham? Sridham said, you'll be a good friend of Krishna and Balaram. So anyone else she has? Any other? So, well, we're a bit embarrassed because we have one child, but maybe you can bless her because she was born blind. And they brought out Radharani and they placed her in the hands of on the lap and in the hands of Narada Muni. And as soon as Radharani touched Narada Muni, he became overwhelmed in ecstasy. He saw how he never, even as a baby, never seen anybody as beautiful as his child. And he was like completely stunned. His hairs were standing on end, the tears were pouring from his eyes. His throat was choked. He couldn't move. He was just stunned. He was just looking for about an hour and a half. He didn't move. And they didn't know what to do. They're standing by the side. Narada Muni just, you know, completely overwhelmed in ecstasy. And finally, after about an hour and a half, he could compose himself enough to speak. And gave back their daughter. And said, don't worry, she'll be all right. You're very fortunate to have this daughter. She told her, Dinaband has a slightly different version of this, so you hear his version too, but anyway. He gave them some instructions and he told them to, in the same way like he told Nanda and Yasoda, that you should simply your supreme dharma is take care of this girl. Wherever this girl lives, in that house resides Lakshmi. I only told half the pastime, but Prashad has come, so I guess the other half, I have to fulfill your request, and I tell the other half tomorrow. Hari.